pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be part of this community. Thank you for this church that has been that light in this village for so many years, Lord. We thank you for the saints that have passed through this and the current congregation as well, Lord. Just bless the words I have to say. May it be an encouragement to myself and who knows, maybe even somebody in the congregation. Amen. It is lovely to be with you all again, and I think sun's not bad, is it, today? I think every time I come to Ringdon, it's sunny, so I think I might move here. Just picking up on the... I better put that first slide on. Sorry. Yes. Why is this slide relevant? Because I can imagine that if you've just climbed, this is the view from the top of Mount Everest. I was just there last week. But you can imagine you spent all that time climbing the top of Mount Everest and you're looking at your peak that you're sitting on. And then you look at this amazing world outstretched and you realize two things. A, how tiny you are. And B, what an incredible job God has done to design what you're looking at. So it always sort of reminds me of just how small I am and how big God's plans are for me. I did mention that I was on sabbatical, and the reason sabbatical is important, it is about seeing and trusting in God's big picture. And it's about beginning to get my head around what it will be like, which for many, many 30-odd years has been my identity of running Christian Surfers in the UK. And so this is as much as relevant for me as I hope it may be to one of you, to others in here. I always think when preparing to do a talk, I always gain something out of it, so that's why I always enjoy doing it. And I also believe God has put this topic on it, not just for mine and Annie's, but also maybe somebody within this church this morning. I'm not sure how you're all getting on. I look at lots of smiling faces. The good news is nobody's yet fallen asleep, which is good. And there may be all sorts of challenges going on in your lives. There may be challenges which the church knows about and is praying about. There may be challenges which you're talking to your best neighbor about. There may be challenges which you just, to be honest, you just are really struggling inside. And I think this is where I perhaps want to encourage you. I'm not a great Bible theologian, as Annie would know. I'm regarding as a practical Christian that wears my heart on my sleeve and believes that God invests in myself, my family, our community, this congregation every single day. And that doesn't mean to say that we are, hidden from all the realities that life throws at us. But it does mean that I believe that God has got us in his hand. And sometimes it's hard to see that. So let's start with a promise in that Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. You knit together in my mother's womb, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You are all marvelous. Each one of us is marvelous. How can I be marvelous? I'm a grotty old sinner. But yet God sees me as somebody that's marvelous. Were the disciples wonderful, amazing people that never did anything wrong? No, they're a ragtag bunch, and yet God was still able to use them. So I don't just want you to remember that. You're never away from God's love and presence, and you are wonderfully made. No matter what anybody says, no matter what's going on in your life, you are wonderfully made. You are chosen, and you're an individual that God loves very much. So where are the challenges in your life at the moment? It may well be you're sitting in the pew thinking, there's no challenges in my life. Life is good. And if that's the case, absolutely fantastic. I've been there, I'm sure, at times. I'm sure Annie's been there at times. We've all been there at times. But that's not reality often. And I think one of the things is, well, how on earth can you cope when that's not reality? Is it a challenge in relationships? With work situations? Family? Health? Possibly some big challenges that you can't see any clarity. You can't see where God is in this. And again, I'm a practical person. I sometimes have white flag moments. I've known people in my life that I think have an amazing ministry and yet they're taken far too early with some form of passing, whether it's car accidents or it's death or it's cancer or whatever it is. And I'm thinking, God, I don't understand that. I'm not even going to try to understand that. And I call it a white flag moment, because I just think, I have no idea what this is about. It's not my plan. And I think just in those times, God wants us to be honest and say, Phil, I know you don't understand, and I know you're really, really upset by this whole thing, but I am in control. And for whatever reason, that person is no longer with us. But I still can't get to grips with it, so don't feel bad that I don't understand. Because if we understood God, I don't think he'd be God. Because so many things happen which we haven't even got a clue about. A few examples from my life of seeing God's big picture. I studied at Plymouth Polytechnic, not a university. I was a polywally way back in 1980. And just when I came out from there, there was a big recession on. I loved my surfing, and I loved Plymouth, and I didn't really want to go home to Weston-super-Mare. No, if you come from Weston-super-Mare, nothing wrong with Weston. It just wasn't quite the same surf. So I stayed at Plymouth, and I was trying to get a job, and I didn't end up getting a job, and I was unemployed for a year. And did my faith really get challenged throughout the year? Of course it did. Did I get to some really hard times? Yes, it did. And then I decided that actually I had a big sign on my wall that said, self-pity stinks. So I would get up each day and just decide, right, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do? Where am I going to start walking? Because I can't see where God is in this. So I started doing youth work in a very dodgy area of Plymouth. And it began to give me enthusiasm, because I was affecting the life of kids that were far, far worse off than me. So that was an encouragement, but I had to make those steps. And then I was actually unemployed for a whole year. What did I learn from that? Well, A, many experiences where I've been able to share with those going through those tough times. But also, it was my footing onto my new career that ended up with so many things happening of 19 years with XL Logistics, British Road Services, which then launched me into this crazy life of ministry. And every one of those things had to happen at a time. And that's to me saying, well, actually, if I got a job straight from university, that wasn't God's plan. And so again, you look back, you can't see at the time, but you can look back. Annie, would you believe, when she was first getting involved with teaching, was offered a job not too far from here. And she was actually offered the job. So we were really, really pleased. We just got married about 30-something years ago. 36 and a half years ago. Well, 37 nearly. July the 25th. Is this mine or anybody's? Can I grab yours? Okay. Anyway, so we were overjoyed because I just got a job in Bristol. Annie's got a job in Bristol. And then 2 days later, there was a note from the school to say, I'm really sorry that we're not going to offer you the job. We found somebody better because they're more... Yes, sorry. So again, it's like, well, what on earth is God doing? And then within about, I don't know how many weeks after that, there was a job came up that was absolutely perfect. And again, it was with the Cathedral School. And that's why, again, Annie's life has taken on this whole new meaning. But if we'd really just struggled with that first decision and given up, you just got to trust sometimes. And my Christian Surfers life, 33 years I've invested in this ministry. How on earth is Christian Surfers going to carry on? How can it carry on without Phil Williams? Well, let me tell you, the ministry is far bigger than Phil Williams. But does that mean God's going to not care for me after those 33 years? And Annie? Absolutely not. God's saying, I have a big plan. When you look at the scale of this, 33 years with Christian Surfers is tiny. Phil Williams' 63 years on this world is tiny, but it doesn't mean it's not important. And so again, it's just getting hold of the fact that A, Christian Surfers is in a good place, and B, Annie and I will also be in a good place because God loves us. I mentioned earlier about turning my back or turning down the opportunity to carry on running Nelsie Skate Fest after 21 years. It's a massive, weird space that we were in yesterday. some amazing little speeches, and I got a little trophy as well from the people. But it's like, well, why are you doing it? And we just felt we'd sort of laid a fleece down, and God was saying, it's time. And part of me is saying, well, how can it be time? Because who is going to reach the skate park community if it's not us? And I don't know the answer to that at the moment. All I know is that 21 years we've faithfully served our community. It's not all been plain sailing, pretty stressful. The weather hasn't always been good. And does that mean that those skateboarders, those scooter riders, those rollerbladers are never going to be connected? I hope and pray not. And that's my faith, because God, again, through, I believe, a new chapter, is going to continue to reach that community. So never think, I'm really important, and if God's not using me to this, then they can't be reached. Hold it lightly, but I do pray that somehow out of the ashes that we've sort of, not the ashes, but the thing we're handing over, God is going to do a new something for that skate park community. So how can we move forward if we can't see God's direction? I know sometimes it's so clear, isn't it? God says, bang, there you are. Other times you're thinking, it's really, really foggy, and I can't see what on earth is going on. My practical steps, be practical. Use your common sense. I can see there's a lot of intelligent people in this church. Okay. So if you can't see what God's calling you to do, what would you normally do? And I know there's a thin line between holding your decision making, this is what I would do, and God's Holy Spirit. But if you can't see where God's calling, start knocking on doors. Start being practical and thinking, okay, I'm going to see if this is right. I'll start knocking on doors. I'll start applying. And just see where God calls it. I also pray for specific encouragements and signs. Sometimes if you're trying to do something and there's so much opposition, you're saying, perhaps God's saying that this isn't right. Or perhaps the devil's saying, ah, I don't want you to do this. So how can you tell the difference? My prayer is always, God, if this is right, within the next 24 hours, you are going to give me some form of encouragement to say, get on with it. Does anybody like the weather? Does anybody like watching the weather? Well, are there any farmers in here? No? Okay. Ah, well, I'll see. So probably the farming community is probably even more obsessed with the weather, probably not, than me, because the weather and surfing and skateboarding all go together. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed that the weather person, okay, never ever says the weather's coming from here. The weather person will just say a nice little guided hand, and they'll sort of point and it's saying the weather is coming from here. And that really reminds me about God and his grace. If we're trying to move forward and it's not quite right, God's not going to poke us to say you're wrong. Nice, gentle arm saying, good try, Phil. Let's just move you this way a bit. And so again, don't be sort of so safe that I'm not going to try and get out of the boat. Think, well, if this is right, God, then you're either going to tell me or not. So again, God is a real practical God. God wants us to talk to him and be honest about it. And I just say, encourage you to keep walking. Is there some analogy about it's very hard to turn an oil tanker when it's in pork? And plus the fact that it probably could be turning that. But if it's not moving forward, it's far harder to turn. And I believe in our lives, it's far harder to turn if we're just sitting. And that's not to say there are times when God is saying, be still, be still. But a lot of times God is saying, let's keep moving. I've seen many times with Christian surfers, mountains to climb. There is no surf this weekend. What are we going to do? That's a big mountain to me when you run the contest. And God has a way of showing you through those mountains. And there has never been a weekend when I've not looked back and think, wow, I don't know how we got through that mountain. Did we go over it? Did we go through it? But all I know is that God guided us. And that was probably through many, many, many people's influences and decisions we've made. So never forget that. Could you just put the next slide up, please? Because I've got to click. That verse is so, so important. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. An encouragement that sometimes things are dim whilst we're here. God has got us, And God is going to show us clarity. And when our time on this earth is done, that key thing, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. God knows, has planned your life, Annie's life. But some big decisions we've got to make in the next couple of years. Surprisingly enough, I'm a surfer and I don't really want to retire in Nailsea. Might surprise you. At what stage do you think is God calling us to go to the beach? Is it just, I sell my house and therefore God's calling us? I don't think so. I think it's got to be a bit more dramatic than that. And God's got to really say, you know what? Just keep praying and I'll open it up. And if it's that big a decision, I'm not going to let you sort of walk past and just ignore it. So again, real practical stuff. But we do need to trust that God's got us. And I don't know if anybody, as I say, going through a really, really challenging time. But please find out somebody that you can trust and just guide you through it. Just keep talking, keep praying. And there's stuff in my life that has been pretty harrowing and pretty, you know, I don't understand it. But all I know is that I really do believe God is with me and it's not going to let me down, not going to let us down, not going to let you down. So be encouraged, happy to chat afterwards. But yeah, that final slide, which actually has nothing to do with this. It's just the most incredible otter I saw on the Shetland Islands, and it made me smile when this otter decides to wander up to me, catch 5 crabs, eat them in front of me, 2 fish, and then went for a sleep. So anyway, but I'd happy to answer any of our thoughts, Annie and I, around for a coffee afterwards, because you always do good coffees. But yeah, can I just pray? Lord, I want to thank you that life is not simple. Life is at times so, so tough, and I know that I've not been anywhere near through some of the things that people maybe in this community are going through, and therefore it's very easy for me to say, you know, just trust. And Lord, I can't answer those questions, but you can. So I just pray if anybody really is being challenged at the moment, that you would just encourage them, that you would encourage us what the next step looks like, that you would encourage us of things that we're praying into, that they will come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Amen.